The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Picking somebody featured on virtually every do not draft list? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Here's a fun fact. I haven't slept since last night, Daniel. Too woke.
It'll happen after that game.
That was ridiculous. I am Field Yates. That's Daniel Dopp. We've got Stefania Bell in the house. Matthew Berry will be joining us in just a moment. But how epic was last night?
There he is.
How epic. Last night was so epic. I don't even know. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, what's up?
I don't even have the words to describe how epic last night was. I was trying to think of a comparison where I look forward to something as much as I was looking forward to that game in
Hamilton.
Life.
Really? I leave you guys
alone. That's the only thing I can
think of. Hamilton. Yeah.
Hamilton.
But other than that, it was amazing. It was fun. You know, there were so many. I think it was like the whole night, too. Did you see the Coliseum? Full of people, lots of first responders that were treated
amazing
to that game and recognized by the Rams organization, which was really nice to see. And then this it was just this display of offensive firepower.
It was everything you could have reasonably asked for from these two teams and so much more. If you enjoy football, if you enjoy entertainment, if you enjoy sports, last night was so much to be celebrated. I know the Chiefs are disappointed they lost that game last night. And I know that it's not going to make it any easier for Chiefs fans. But if you are not endlessly excited about what this team has to offer now and going forward, like Patrick Mahomes has like 15 years of dominance ahead of him.
Oh my gosh.
Just unbelievable. We're going to get into a full recap of that game. And I don't mean to start on something and then immediately skip off of it. But Daniel, we have a really cool thing. We had a really cool thing happen recently.
We certainly did.
Do you have something that you're...
I'm just laughing because... I just want to be clear. So I don't know how to describe this game, Field says, and then talks for 2 minutes about the game and then says, I don't mean to talk about this, move off it and then go quickly, but let me move off it very quickly. I enjoyed the last 2.5 minutes.
Had something planned to open the show, but someone forgot to show up to work on time.
Yeah.
So Daniel.
Yes.
Now that Matthew is here, we can actually enjoy this moment.
You didn't need me for
we
this.
We need you for
we
this.
We need you for this, Daniel. This is cool.
Absolutely.
This is really cool, Daniel. Share this
so,
story with the world.
A little while ago, we had someone tweet at us saying that they were listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast while fighting through contractions in order to be able to take their mind off of what was going on. That was Alexandra Olson. She was listening to us while she was going through literally having her child. So we just want to, one, give a big shout out again to Alexandra for that. And
yes,
she has since had a baby. Her name is Sophia.
Sophia.
Which is fantastic.
I love that name, by the way.
And I think that, you know, personally, I came to you guys and said, what do you think about putting Alexandra and Sophia in the Women's League for 2019?
The youngest member of the Women's League in the history of the Women's League.
It'll be the first fantasy league that Sophia is ever a part of.
So I think naturally the team name has got to be Sophia the first.
No, Sophia set a DraftKings lineup, to be clear, by the way, last night. Sophia had Patrick Mahomes and Chris Connolly, plus every other relevant Chiefs and Rams player from last night.
She's a baller.
Salary cap. She's smart. She's sharp.
I love it. Absolutely. Women's League. Alexandra and Sophia.
You guys are good for that? All right.
Absolutely.
So Alexandra and Sophia.
Welcome to the Women's League.
Put it on the board.
Is that our first entrant field for 2019?
For the Women's League, I believe that it is. We have a couple of Men's League that are in there, but that is the first one. I mean, not including our, obviously, resident, Stefania Bell.
That's right.
Correct.
Who's in there for the Men's League?
Boy, Matthew, I don't have an answer for you right now. They're all in an email in my Outlook.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, anyway, we're very excited. So, yes. And for other people saying, like, hey, I didn't know that, you know, entries were being accepted or anything like that. Absolutely. If you're pumping out a baby, this goes for men or women. If you're pumping out a baby and listening to the 06010, it's pretty much a fast pass, right?
You're in.
I don't know if it's fast pass. Let's ask Alexander just how fast that fast pass was.
No. I'm not saying that process is fast.
Okay. Just
no,
to be
I'm
clear.
Saying, I'm just saying just once you go clear. Through that, once you bring a listener into the world, which is what I believe she's done here, once you bring a listener into the world to the podcast.
I would like to say this.
Yeah, what do you got?
I think it's actually, we should just unveil the curtain and say that it's the entire process from beginning to end. If you're listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, it's a fast pass. Whether it's the creation of said child.
Oh, yeah.
Or have, actual delivery.
Information or no?
Yeah, I know. I certainly don't want documented proof.
You can just send it to at Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter.
Yeah, you can send it to me. I'll look at it. What do I care?
Oh.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Also, I want to give a quick birthday shout out to two people. One to Joe Cook, who is always in our Twitter chat. Happy birthday, Joe.
Shouts to Joe Cook.
Thank you for being here. And thanks for always being in our Twitter chat.
Absolutely. And also to, our producer Luna.
Jonathan Luna. Right.
Bristol's finest.
Had a birthday recently. We want to give
yesterday.
Him a shout out. Yep.
He did.
And unfortunately we did not get to it yesterday because, I mean, we just don't hustle. So.
Mostly because we're a moron.
But happy birthday yesterday, Luna.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're stretching it out. Like, it was your birthday and we didn't want to just put his, like, right.
It was your birthday
after
over the weekend.
It was Jared Davis's birthday, middle linebacker of the Lions on Friday. Yeah. And then it was my birthday on Saturday.
Right.
And then it was Luna's birthday on Monday and Joe Cook's birthday today.
So there you go. Four in a row. The big four right there. Hey, Secret Squirrel, this one, I posted something on Twitter and Instagram wishing you a happy birthday. I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
I did see that, yes.
I was just curious what Stefania and Field did for your birthday.
They sent me very nice personalized text messages as well as monogrammed bathrobes.
Interesting. I don't believe any of that.
Field. Wow.
Okay. Put a lot past us, huh, Matthew?
Yeah. You don't need to.
Well, the text messages did happen.
What are Daniel's initials on his bathrobe?
Believe it or not, Matthew, it's the easiest set of initials ever. DDD.
This is true. This is actually correct. All right, so you did get that one.
I like how you wanted to try to like.
I wanted to see, boys and girls. I wanted to see if they knew.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if they knew, and I picked you over Stefania to fail the test.
I knew
Princeton would get it.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Anyways, let's get to that football game. It was tremendous, and now that we are at full Voltron here on these podcasts, we can discuss the game.
Is that where we're at?
Well, we actually have everybody here, which is good. So let's talk about that Rams 54-51 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. There is so much more to get into than we could probably get into in this podcast alone, but just stars everywhere. Jared Goff, 35.1 points. Patrick Mahomes, 35.9 points. On the Rams side, Gerald Everett was a star. Josh Reynolds was a star. Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods were good as well. Actually, a kind of quiet Todd Gurley game. So, but I'll give Todd Gurley a pass. I know Matthew tweeted this last night. Like, give Todd Gurley a pass if you're disappointed with only 12.4 fantasy points.
You're not allowed to complain about Todd Gurley.
You are not allowed to do that. 54.
Not now, not ever.
Right. Jared Goff accounts for 4 total touchdowns, but Josh Reynolds and I think Gerald Everett are the 2 storylines coming out of this game that might have something to act upon going forward. The Rams go on a bye this week. Josh Reynolds was thrust into the Cooper Kupp role, and we talk about this idea often that, you know, you cannot have 3 wide receivers that can sustain success in most offenses. The Rams, they're part of that exception. They're part of that, you know, Rams and early on this season, the Lions and maybe a couple other offenses this year. But the Rams are the best at it. And Josh Reynolds, when he returns from bye in week 13, might be like a top 30 wide receiver play going forward after 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he played well. And so, you know, we talked about Reynolds a little bit here. And so while he'd been a little bit quiet during the original Cooper Kupp absence, he did have the one big game, the 2 touchdown game here. Look, it takes a little while for an offense to sort of find itself. And Kupp, of course, was always the slot guy and Woods was outside. Basically now Reynolds has moved outside and they're using, Robert Woods in the slot more. Obviously with Cooks on the other side. Cooks was banged up in this game. Look, I don't know that you expect Jared Goff to throw the ball 49 times and throw for 413 yards and 4 touchdowns in every single game.
Right.
You don't expect that. Having said that, he's on the field playing a significant amount of snaps, will be for the rest of the season. I know they like him there quite a bit. And I know that before they traded for Brandon Cooks this past offseason, I was talking to members of the front office there, asking them about Josh Reynolds. Hey, guys, if you lose Sammy Watkins, this was before Watkins had left the team. They weren't
before
sure
what they traded for Brandon Cooks, too.
Right, exactly. So they weren't sure what their wide receiver depth was. They were hoping to keep Watkins, who's a free agent last year. That ended up not happening. But I was like, hey, if Watkins ends up leaving, what are you guys thinking of the position? And they're like, we have a lot of confidence in Josh. We actually think he can take the step up. They ended up being able to get Brandon Cooks. But I don't think this is a fluke. Again, I don't know that you see these kind of games from him. Again, Brandon Cooks left this game. He was in and out of this game a little bit here. But I do think Reynolds is much more viable than not. If you're on the field in a Rams offense, in a Sean McVay offense, good things can happen.
8 targets last night, 6 catches. He actually nearly had a second touchdown. Like, it was, you know, an inch of his left foot that didn't quite fit
like
inbounds.
His toe was just over there.
Just didn't quite get there. I mean, how much are we talking about Josh Reynolds this morning if he goes 7 for 85 and 2 touchdowns?
Right.
Gerald Everett has
former Texas A&M Aggie,
that's
Josh
right.
Reynolds, by the way. Giga Mags.
Gerald Everett also piqued your interest last night. Matthew, 3 catches, 49 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Just 4 targets. And Tyler Higbee, also a big part of that offense last night. But you think Everett might be something?
I actually don't. I mean, I wanted to bring him up specifically to dismiss him because I think people see the 2 touchdowns and 3 for 49 and but I think your point about 4 targets is correct. So in our celebrity league, in our podcast celebrity league, I was playing Miles Teller.
Yep.
And I needed, so Gronk is my tight end in that league, and Gronk was on a bye, obviously, and it's been brutal all year too. But I needed a tight end, and so it's a 14 team league. It's, you know, the waiver wire is picked thin. So I had Gerald Everett. Was my tight end. So I'm watching this, you know, I'm watching the game, obviously, but I'm watching that specifically closely. Higbee plays a lot more snaps. And I knew coming into the game he had, but I thought Everett might have a chance, and I know they used Everett in red zone packages. He got one end zone look. So the 4 targets there, he got one end zone look. He got another one, and then he ended up catching the touchdown. But he caught that touchdown on a 3rd down play where they, you know, he wasn't even in the game on 1st and 2nd down. So if they convert on 1st and 2nd down, he doesn't get that touchdown. He gets the one long play for the 2nd touchdown later. But again, playing less snaps than Higbee, not running a ton of routes in this one. Great game, but, you know, I don't know that you see the Rams score 54 every week. So I think he is a touchdown dependent tight end too. So I just want to, and anyone that was thinking like, ooh, I found something here in Gerald Everett.
And it was an amazing touchdown last night.
The second one
was like toe tapping the sideline.
He's a talented player field.
If he goes out of bounds, you're like, 3 for 32 is like, no big deal, right?
Right. I mean, look, he did get it. Like I said, the first target was an end zone look that Goff just threw it sort of at his feet.
Yep.
Just, you know, in a game in which Jared Goff threw 49 times, only 4 of them went to Gerald Everett. And so I don't know that you can count on the touchdowns. Although, you know, he's had a nice couple of games here on a bye this week. So just maybe somebody to keep in the back of your 9, but not somebody I'm going to rush out and pick up.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Murder for Dummies, Mike of the Man's League. He's been trolling me all week long on Twitter because I was down 50.4 points coming into this Monday Night Football game.
Yeah.
And I had Patrick Mahomes and Gerald Everett, and I beat him by 4 points.
Wow.
So
you
good.
Just wanted to shout somebody out. Well, on Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now, we were talking about this game, and I was like, I can't wait to see all the people that need a Monday night miracle, and it's like a run-of-the-mill performance.
Tweets.
And we got so many people coming back from 50, 60, 70 points down, in part because of the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes, who, I get it, he had 5 turnovers last night. But can you, 5 turnovers and he had 35.9 fantasy points. I would venture to guess that's got to be, if not the most points ever by a quarterback that had 5 turnovers. It's right there in the discussion. He was just remarkable last night, 6 touchdowns. He was so good last night, I couldn't help but tweet last night, I don't care that he's on a bye next week. I am starting Patrick Mahomes in week 12 merely out of respect. He has been that remarkable of a player for the Chiefs this year. 478 yards, 6 touchdowns, and it felt like every time I looked up, Tyreek Hill was running right past Sam Shields or anybody else in that Rams secondary.
Tyreek Hill is so fast.
10 for 215.
Hence the nickname.
2 touchdowns. Unbelievable. Travis Kelce went nuts. 10 for 127 and a touchdown. Heck, Chris Conley had 7 for 74 and 2 touchdowns, in large parts defined because Sammy Watkins was a virtual non-factor.
Right. It tweeted that he was active before the game because he was listed as active. We tried to tell you last week that he would be a risky fantasy start because he obviously missed the last game, and he came in not practicing at the end of the week. Had 1 limited practice early in the week, then 2 consecutive did not practice. They allowed him to give it a go, I guess, in warm-ups. They felt like it would be okay. But clearly he wasn't right. Like, if you saw him at the beginning, he kind of limped off the field, and then you really didn't see him anymore after that.
Heck, Joe Tessitore said, I think it was the second Chiefs offensive play, they threw a wide receiver screen to Sammy Watkins, and Joe Tess said, listen, I don't know if you're stunned, but very surprised that Sammy Watkins was playing based off what they saw during pregame warmups.
Right.
And that was in the second play of the game. Not like in the fourth quarter when we hadn't seen him. That was so, and Stefania was all over this.
One
Tess
target,
surprised.
One catch for 4 yards. I think it was obvious. Look, I get it. Maybe they wanted to let him be involved because here he was. You know, I went from the Rams to the Chiefs. It was important for him to try and be out there. But I don't think he was really ever factored that much into their game plan, because I think they planned that they would likely not have him available.
Late in the game, Tyreek Hill made a catch that I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe it, but basically over his shoulder, he was like leaning back this way.
Yeah.
It was a high, Mahomes threw
smacked.
It high,
yeah.
Throw it high, so he had to sort of twist his body, you know, kind of in the opposite direction that he was going, grabs it by his fingertips, come down, a defender comes, hits the ball, he manages to hang on, he spins around and gets 2 feet down. It was, whatever, maybe it was like a 25-yard play or something like that.
He pirouetted at the end.
So it was all this one reception for 25 yards, but it was such an unbelievable display of athleticism and skill from Tyreek Hill. And it was one of those things where, a lot of people, even coming into this year, field said about Tyreek Hill, this is a guy, he's a fast guy. He's a big play. He's big play dependent.
I believe a certain defensive back called him a kick return specialist.
Yeah. Yes.
That defensive
right.
back shall remain
yes.
nameless.
Yes. Yeah, we know exactly who that is. Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of people that sort of doubted Tyreek Hill as anything other than, yes, as a kick return specialist, as just a fast guy, like one route, you throw it deep and hope he catches up to it kind of thing. And I have to tell you, not that Tyreek Hill needs me to, wax eloquently about his brilliance, but this is as complete a wide receiver as there is. I mean, like, that one play I thought encapsulated, because that had nothing to do with speed. That had everything to do with body control and route running and on-field awareness, and just amazing. It is worth noting that since week six, no player has more receiving touchdowns than Tyreek Hill. And on a per-game basis, he's scoring 23.25 fantasy points per game. No one in the NFL is better on a points-per-game basis. Not Adam Thielen, not Antonio Brown, not Michael Thomas, not Julio. Tyreek Hill, number one.
There's plenty of other receivers who might get 10 receptions in a game, but to go over 200 yards on the 10 receptions tells you something about the distance that he can cover as well.
He was awesome. That game was awesome. I think we're all better off for having had that game in our lives.
It was so fun. It was just fun to watch. I saw a tweet. I don't know if it was, I can't remember who it was from.
If you liked it, it was from me.
No, it wasn't from you, but it was somebody who, I don't know if it was Kazarian, somebody who covers the gambling, but they were basically saying that the sportsbooks were like, yeah, we got hammered on this game.
Oh.
Well, I tweeted.
We thought we were funny that we were like, we picked 45-41. We completely undersold them on that.
100%. I literally, had they set the over-under at 100, you could have taken
the over
and won.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, when you
so
just
ridiculous.
Think about that, as we often talk about, like, we go through the over-unders, and we'll do this tomorrow as well. We always think, wow, this is a really high over-under at 55. This is the highest over-under on the board at 57. Like, I think this game came into the week as the highest over-under in NFL history at 65, I think.
64 is the 64. Final over-under, the highest ever.
Yeah.
Ever!
And
64
they were
points.
64, and they were like, we were way off.
64! The Rams were a touchdown and a field goal away from getting there themselves.
They got to go back and look at their formulas of how they set those again.
I tweeted out the drive by drive.
Yeah,
how this game was
yeah.
last night. Just quickly. I mean, it'll take me 2 seconds here. Touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, fumble, touchdown, punt, fumble return for touchdown, end of the half. Fumble, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, interception for touchdown, punt, punt, touchdown, fumble return for touchdown, punt, punt, touchdown, touchdown, interception, punt, interception, kneel down. Unbelievable. I know that was fast. That was a lot of information there, but
so
it was one of
touchdowns.
The most exhilarating games we'll ever see, and well done. And I wanted to wake up and watch it. I wish I had recorded that game so I could watch it again this morning and watch it anytime I need a football fix.
You know what's interesting, real quick, the last thing on this one was, if there was, for all the ooh and ah shocking moments, of this particular game.
Yeah.
To me, the most shocking thing is that in a game that was 54-51, what won the game was defense. I mean, that's what's amazing. Yeah. I mean, like, we sit here and joke about, you know, two of the best offenses in the history of the game and two defenses that have certainly struggled and underperformed this year for various reasons, and yet Rams were actually the third highest fantasy defense of the week, which was shocking because I think a lot of people benched them thinking like, oh, I don't want negative points. We know there's going to be a ton of points scored, which they were, but who expected two defensive touchdowns there? And, you know, and the Chiefs actually were, I believe, top 10.
They had a defensive touchdown too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they ended up with
sacks.
They were in seven.
Like, there were some defensive highlights in that game.
And obviously it was, yeah,
so
sorry.
Stop. I'm just saying, stop all the haters.
Yeah. And,
you know, there were some defensive and some nice defensive performances from, some, you know, different members of each on each side of the ball. 100%.
I mean, and listen, that's how the Rams won with defense towards the end. I mean, two picks from Patrick Mahomes off of Patrick Mahomes, I should say, in the final, I think, 3 minutes.
Right. Yep. It was two interceptions, or was it two, or was it, two interceptions.
It was two,
because Marcus Peters got one.
Yeah, well, and then the one they took it back. They reversed
the game.
The call.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it was, I mean, it was really remarkable. It was brilliant. I can't wait for the 30 for 30.
And not only that, you know, like, right. I think my favorite, my favorite was all the like, hey, Jeff Fisher.
There were a couple of people.
Because this quarterback is thriving. And do you remember, it's funny because I think we have all this recency bias, but if you go back in time and think of people wondering if Jared Goff could make it in this league, and he's such a humble kid.
Jared Goff bust Twitter search last night.
Did you
tweet anything?
No. It happens, you know, people can't help but make quick proclamations.
Well, and by the way, so all the, you know, Jared Goff, such a bust, brutal, awful like that, that's why I'm so... Why I don't like it when people are just sitting here dumping on Nathan Peterman. Well, I don't know what Nathan Peterman's NFL career is going to wind up being. Maybe this is it. Maybe he never gets another shot. But so many people were just so quick to like talk about him as the worst NFL quarterback ever. And I'm like, man, you've got no idea. Like, anyway, you know, just I think the Bills never put him in a position to succeed.
Seriously.
And so so a lot of these same conversations were happening about Jared Goff. I remember when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, when they traded up in the first round to draft Patrick Mahomes, people were curious about that. There were some people that called him a system quarterback at Texas Tech. You remember?
I think it's fair. He's only got 37 touchdown passes so far this year.
I mean,
right? Like, trust me. I remember.
I know we got to get off this game at some point, but that was as much fun to watch from, it was like the young Sean McVay and like the older wise Andy Reid who's mentored this. It was such a fun chess match in terms of how they game planned and how they were reacting to these. It was so fun.
All right.
I have one last thing on this game. And cause we sort of quickly went over it, but I'm just curious. What did you see from Todd Gurley in this game? Do you think it was just a matter of like they didn't use him that much, or do you think there's a little bit of fatigue? Felt like we saw more Malcolm Brown in this game than we're used to.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit, that he wasn't involved. And when he was, he didn't look Todd Gurley-esque. And if he was tired, wouldn't you be like, of course he's tired?
Yeah, of course.
You know, and their bye coming so late. Like, let's put it this way. The bye for this team could not come at a better time. To your question, I have no official word on anything going on with him. I don't know if it's just what we saw or just maybe because he wasn't involved early, it never picked up. I don't know. But I would be willing to wager that after they have this nice bye in week 12, you're going to see a very sharp looking Todd Gurley.
But it allows us, Field, I was just going to say, as we sort of pivot to the waiver wire here, it allows us.
In a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Get some news first.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second then. But I'll merely just say this and then we're going to get to the waiver wire later coming up in the show. But I think that this is a time with just two teams on a bye here in week 12, as you had to do your waiver wire tonight. I just think it's worth noting, if you haven't already, like,
Handcuff. Yeah.
So Malcolm Brown, Spencer Ware, Chase Edmonds, like, you know, there's a handful of guys that I think, Rod Smith, that I think are worth rostering as we're now past the byes and we're heading towards the playoffs. I think it's just.
I'm actually going to use, I've already, because we're trying to get ahead for the holiday, I've already put together the top of the week 13 waiver wire column that basically explains, like, byes are done. And you may not have that luxury if you have a couple of Chiefs or Rams this week you need to fill in for, but I'm going to do the, like, I'll take the top 10 or 8 running backs in fantasy this year and identify, like, if I had to choose a player behind them, here is my selection, because some will be obvious and some will be, like, less obvious, but still, it's good information to have. I completely agree with you on that. Speaking of running backs that you might need to handcuff, right now the answer is you need one in Detroit. Stefania, the Lions play in 48 and a half hours, 49 hours to be specific, actually. Kerryon Johnson may not be available.
I don't think he will be, but of course, you know, it's the Lions, so they're not going to tell you right now that he's ruled out. He did not practice yesterday. Adam Schefter reporting that based on the MRI he had on his left knee, we saw him leave, go to the locker room last week's game, that he will not need surgery, but it's something that they're considering week to week. So when you're week to week and you know you have a game in a short week, 4 days later, you're not expecting Kerryon Johnson. So you got to consider, you got the Detroit Lions without Marvin Jones, without Kerryon Johnson, there's going to be some substituting in there.
It's going to be, we had this conversation yesterday, and like I put Theo Riddick on the waiver wire as my favorite Lions running back out of the week. LeGarrette Blount made it as well. It was like, I'm putting him on here almost because I feel like I have to, not because I really want to.
Right.
Yeah. I would think that Zach Zenner gets more involved as a running back.
There's definitely some chatter in Detroit that they expect that to happen, especially because they're looking at potentially multiple weeks.
I just want to say
Zach Zenner is the Gerald Everett of the Detroit Lions right now. Like, he's that sneaky play that you're not thinking is going to do anything, but you know what? He could actually end up getting you a handful of fantasy points if you are so desperate that you're like, I need the biggest of big dart throws.
You know what I would say is maybe the real point here is that no Lions running back. I would not be relying on any Lions running back this week to help me win a week. Theoretic is my number one, but
because of his pass catching too.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think to your point, Zach Zenner, sure, if you want to grab somebody, if you're desperate, can't imagine starting him until you see it
on the field.
So I actually like Theo Riddick. I have him as a top 30 play this week. You think about, you know, since he came back, 18 catches in three games, 6 for 60 the last time he faced these Bears. And previously, and Secret Squirrel can speak to this too, but before getting Kerryon Johnson, the Lions would always struggle to run the ball. For years, they struggled to run the ball. And, you know, they had high hopes for Amir Abdullah. It never ended up working out for various reasons. And so for a lot of time, their run game was, in essence, short passes to Theo Riddick. Like, that was what they considered their running game. And so against a Bears defense that I think will be able to get pressure on Matthew Stafford, you think probably no Marvin Jones in this one as well, right, Stefania?
Mm-hmm.
So you think no Marvin Jones, no Golden Tate, obviously. So it's Kenny Golladay. Not going to be able to really run the ball that effectively. I mean, all due respect to like Michael Roberts and TJ Jones and Bruce Ellington. But I mean, like, I just think you could see a, especially given the pressure that the Bears will be able to bring against Detroit, just a ton of dump offs here to Theo Riddick. So I think he is a sneaky PPR play. My love hate list, my love hate will come out tomorrow, comes out early for the holidays, and Theo Riddick is in others receiving votes. Just a heads up, little hint.
There you have it. Jimmy Graham broke his thumb recently, Stefania, but he might not miss time. How does that work?
It works because you're Jimmy Graham. You're going to try and play through pain. And so I'm assuming it's a non-displaced fracture. He doesn't have to have something right away. But whatever the case may be, he broke his thumb last Thursday. I think we assumed he would likely miss some time. I think most people would. But he has told Mike McCarthy he intends to try to play through it. They're going to experiment with different splints. And they obviously have to protect the area that's fractured. But he still wants to be able to try and play. I think we talked about this yesterday, that if assuming we thought maybe he would miss some time and then try and come back with a protective device. But number one, we don't know for sure if he's going to be able to work through it. That's what this week is about, to test out some different things and see if he can play and play effectively. But the second thing is, if he's out there, it doesn't necessarily mean he's out there as a pass catcher. I'd be leery of using him in fantasy if he has his thumb significantly wrapped. It will make it more difficult for him to catch a ball.
Matthew, I can't imagine wanting to start him if he plays on Sunday with this broken thumb, right?
No. I mean, you know, obviously not a great matchup either as well. So, look, could he catch a touchdown? I suppose, maybe, but no. I mean, outside my top 10, not somebody that I'm interested in starting.
Hard for me to get particularly excited about Jimmy Graham with that news. Marcus Mariota, Stefania, we know this is a story we'll follow all week. They don't play until next Monday night, so hard for us to provide much in the way of context on the injury report, but what do we know?
I think it's some clarification on the injury. Remember yesterday, I said you could see him moving his hand and fingers. It was reported as an elbow injury. But remember I mentioned that I thought his neck got crunched basically in that play and that you could have something that could come from up higher that could also affect the nerves into your hand and fingers. Well, sure enough, yesterday confirmed that Marcus Mariota suffered a stinger, which actually is an injury between the neck and the shoulder that affects the nerves to the arm and hand. But because he had that nerve injury earlier in the season, I mentioned this word yesterday about nerve tissue being sensitized. It is sometimes easier to have consequences from an injury higher up along the same nerve pathway. So I guess my point is this could be people like, oh, it's a stinger. That's, you know, good. He'll recover quickly and won't be a big deal. Keep your eye on this. It may be a little more problematic for him given the prior elbow injury that he had this season.
We talked about the Titans being sort of like the Bengals adjacent yesterday, Matthew. Doesn't give you any more confidence in starting any of their players.
None whatsoever. Sort of feel bad for the Titans. Not only feel bad for the Titans, feel bad for Blaine Gabbert. All right. The week after Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes go 54-51, here comes Blaine Gabbert on Monday Night Football.
Who's ready? I know.
You know, it's so that's a bummer. But he is facing Deshaun Watson, so there is some star power in this particular game. But, yeah, I mean, I think you downgrade Corey Davis, you know, given how good the Texans' defense have played this year, hard to get excited about, you know, Deion Lewis or Derrick Henry. Tough to get excited about any of the Titans on Monday night.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll be tracking that story throughout the week.
Agreed on that. Separate from the lot of tweets last night about like, yeah, only 6 days until Bills and Jaguars on Sunday after last night's thrilling action. But the Bills might have Josh Allen back to fight.
It looks like if everything continues well this week, you know, he's been out injured in week six, the sprained ulnar collateral ligament in his throwing elbow, missed four games plus the bye week. But we started to see him get back into limited practice sessions before they went into the bye. He is on track to start on Sunday after putting in full practice Monday. So if things continue to go well this week, it will be Josh Allen under center.
All right, good news there. And I don't think that really means anything for fantasy football purposes, Matthew. But it's good to see him back under center because the Bills, you were just talking about how we don't want to sell quarterbacks short that early on in their career. And Josh Allen is imperfect. But when you watch the Bills without Josh Allen, don't you learn to appreciate him a whole lot more?
Yeah, listen, I mean, he's no Matt Barkley.
Correct.
But, no, 100%. Listen, Josh Allen is a gutty kid. I've said this before. Like, I got to interview him at the NFLPA rookie premiere. Really wasn't a huge Josh Allen fan. Wasn't anti him, but wasn't, you know, somebody that I'd had a lot of affinity for before meeting him. And after meeting him, I'm like, his teammates are going to love him. Super charming, self-deprecating, good sense of humor, very self-aware, and you can see by his play on the field this year in terms of just how he's, you know, diving over balls and leaping guys and just sort of his style of play can be inspiring. I think in this matchup against the Jaguars team that, look, Jaguars have a good run defense, obviously, but they haven't been the Jaguars in all capital letters, you know, this year. There's been some leaks here. So maybe LeSean McCoy, who seemed to get going against the Jets prior to the bye, maybe the bringing Josh Allen back gives you some hope that McCoy might be usable against Jacksonville on Sunday.
Yeah, I think kind of like both defenses are streaming. I mean, the Jaguars obviously not streaming options, but the Bills might be an interesting streaming defensive option. This could be very much a game that plays out like their playoff game did last year when it was very few points and a lot of sort of empty yardage on offense.
I mean, it's worth noting the Jaguars have given up at least 18 fantasy points in five of their last six games to opposing running backs. And so when you think about how much volume LeSean McCoy gets in that offense and, you know, the mobility of Josh Allen, anyway, just I think it's a good thing to the extent that you're using any one of the Bills and it's really just a McCoy. I think Josh Allen coming back would be a good thing.
Before we get to the waiver wire ads, Stefania, we talked about this yesterday. We have some updates on Alex Smith and, you know, significant severe injury. What do we know about the recovery he faces ahead?
Well, you know, Adam Schefter tweeted some additional details about Alex Smith's injury that I think are just worth noting so you can appreciate just how difficult this injury was. So he suffered a compound fracture, which, you know, for those of us who are medical, you could tell just by the deformity of his ankle relative to his lower leg. That happened, but a compound fracture means the fracture actually pierces the skin. Why does that matter? Well, it immediately opens up greater risk for infection because now you've got the leg exposed to the elements. And even if it's protected by a sock, it's a sweaty sock, et cetera. It also, you worry about vascular structures and nerve structures in the area. So it just elevates the severity of the injury. He was taken immediately by ambulance to the hospital. He had surgery immediately. And in that surgery, they restore alignment of the fracture, make sure everything's intact. Adam Schefter also referenced trauma surgeons doing the surgery. Wow. I think for people to understand, this is like a motor vehicle accident of injury. Wow. So it, beyond orthopedic surgeons, you have orthopedic trauma specialists who are there, and you want them in this kind of surgery because they're very good at putting things back together in alignment. So I think this, that was very good news for Alex Smith that he had them available. And he also suffered a spiral fracture, and that basically means when you have so much torsion or rotation, it creates a spiraling crack up through the bone. Again, just harder to fix. So all of these things, I think, are to emphasize that what Alex Smith suffered was not a routine injury. Now, that being said, he had excellent care right away, and there's optimism that he will have a full recovery. What does that mean, and what does it look like in terms of his return? That's yet to be determined. I think I saw floating out there a 6 to 8 month recovery timetable. Possible, but not guaranteed. I mean, it could be 8 months, could be 10 months, could be, you don't know. So while this is very good news at the outset, I think it's important for people to remember it's a long recovery process. When you have an injury down that low by your ankle, it's tough to get all your range of motion back. It's not like you have it higher up in the shin where it's far removed from the ankle joint. So you got to get your range of motion, your strength, everything he needs back. But at this time, obviously, a lot of thoughts with Alex Smith. And it was really neat to see last night all of the Chiefs talking about their thoughts being with Alex Smith as well. If you know, even in the Bay Area, he's still much beloved by 49ers fans. So a very well-respected guy. And if anybody's going to take it seriously, he will. But I think I wanted to bring that forward because it's important to know that some of these injuries are they're more significant. You know, you hear about fractures all the time. Football is a collision sport. This one was tough.
Really tough to see, and not sure there's a fantasy spin right now other than we really hope the best for Alex Smith.
He's had
a long, successful career, and we hope that he's back and as close to the player he has been as soon as possible, and wishing him well. Wishing him well. Seems like a genuinely good person. Stefania referenced how many teammates and have a lot of respect, and obviously having worked in Kansas City, not when Alex was there, but know a lot of people, and I can tell you that all of them think the world of Alex Smith. Just a tremendous guy, and made an impact on the Redskins in his brief stint as a starter for this year. We hope he's back soon.
Yes, no question about that.
And Matthew certainly does as well. Yeah. Daniel, tell us about Subaru as we get ready for some waiver wire ads.
You bet, Field. During the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru and its retailers have shown just how far the love can go. Over 100 national parks supported through the National Park Foundation. More than 50,000 animals rescued through the ASPCA. Nearly 2 million meals delivered through Meals on Wheels. More than 1,800 wishes granted through Make-A-Wish. More than 1,170 hometown charities supported. That's $140 million donated to charity by Subaru and its retailers over 11 years. Right now, when you get a new Subaru during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru will donate $250 to the charity of your choice. When we share love, we all win. The Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. And Matthew, exploring the waiver wire is brought to you by the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. And let's talk about some quarterbacks because Jameis Winston is a popular ad this week in the waiver wire.
He certainly is. And as you know, every single week, Field Yates writes the free agent finds column for ESPN.com.
Some would say it's the best piece on the internet.
Some would certainly say that.
Some.
And by some, I mean Chapin Duke. I'm a company man, however. It's available in the ESPN Fantasy app and ESPN.com. So the Buccaneers field, it's Fitz. It's Winston. It's back to Fitz. Now it's back to Winston. Are you picking him up? Are you trusting him? Makes sense of Tampa Bay for me.
Yeah, I would just say this is it's clearly week to week and that much of a proposition. And as much fun or as much as I know people are scared off by the possibility that Jameis Winston will be benched again mid-game because we have seen that from Jameis Winston this year. Heck, they've benched Ryan Fitzpatrick on two separate occasions. And Jameis Winston has been benched on a separate occasion as well. You know, some of that you could probably chalk up to matchups, right?
Yep.
Like, you know, the play in the Bears, one of the best defenses in football, it wasn't a surprise that the Buccaneers struggled. Now, the Giants, believe it or not, are actually a pretty stingy secondary of late. But the 49ers, with all due respect, don't really scare you all that much. I understand that it's possible anything could happen.
Right.
But, you know, any quarterback, I suppose, could – that's probably not a great argument. But, you know, things can happen to quarterbacks. My point is, yes, they have a short leash, but they still have such a massive upside. Like, if you're looking at the possibility of – I'm just going through random quarterbacks right now, like Jameis Winston or
– Matthew Stafford at home against the Bears.
I was going to make it a little bit more enticing than that, but still, like – you know, Kirk Cousins is a good matchup, but he's been bad recently. Like, in fantasy football, he hasn't been great.
Correct.
So I would rather roll the dice of a good matchup with Jameis Winston, who has the ability to get you 30 points, than maybe settle for something else.
Sure. I agree. Look, I've been burned bad by recommending Winston this year. You guys know this. But the one thing that has come true is that the Tampa Bay quarterback, whoever that is, has managed to put up points, and they sort of yin and yang. And I will say, I think now that the Buccaneers are out of it, there's really two ways to go for Tampa Bay. Either say, we want to give Jameis Winston the RG3 treatment, which is we're going to make him like the practice squad
bubble
quarterback,
wrap him,
bubble wrap
injury.
Him. He's never getting on the field because he is due a $20 million roster bonus if he is injured come at the new year, correct?
So his salary becomes guaranteed. $20 million.
Right.
But same practical purpose.
Same practical purpose.
Yeah.
Right. So they either put him in bubble wrap saying, like, we're moving on from Jameis, and so we're not going to be on the hook for $20 million and put him out there in case he gets injured. Or they're like, you know what? We're still on the fence as to whether or not we should sign this guy to kind of a franchise-type quarterback deal. So let's see what we got here. And so they've announced that he is going to be the starter. They're out of the – I mean – the season hasn't gone the way Tampa Bay had hoped. So I think he's probably got a longer leash than maybe he would have the last time he was the starting quarterback here. You mentioned the matchups as well here. Look, the Buccaneers are allowing over 32 points a game. Teams can score on Tampa Bay, which means Jameis Winston is going to have to throw, by the way, he's throwing over 11 air yards per attempt. I mean, they chuck it deep. 49ers who struggle against the deep pass. He's my number 7 quarterback for the week. We always talk about high floors with quarterbacks field, and Lamar Jackson is someone we talked about last week, but apparently not enough people listen to him because he's still out there in a bunch of leagues.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's right. But people wanted to see it first, and I imagine his roster percentage will skyrocket overnight tonight when waivers run. And we both have him as I have him as 15 for quarterback rankings, and there's actually a compelling case to raise him up a little bit higher than that in the rankings. But 27 rushing attempts last week. This is not information that people weren't previously aware of, but if the floor for Lamar Jackson is, I think the floor rushing wise is probably 80 yards.
Yeah.
For the floor. The ceiling is probably 150 yards.
Right.
Maybe more. Who knows?
I was trying to decide whether he would have higher rushing total or Gus Edwards, the new number one running back for the
Raven,
like, who's more likely to get 100 yards in a rushing touchdown?
I think it's Lamar Jackson. He's going to get more attempts. So I think Lamar Jackson has that ridiculous floor and
a great matchup against an Oakland team traveling east for a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah. Oof. So recipe for success for Lamar Jackson, which is one of the reasons why he will be a very popular ad this week.
Now, I can hear some of the people out there saying, or maybe they're tweeting or commenting or whatever it is they do there, Daniel Dopp, saying like, yeah, come on. Jameis Winston's been gone in my league all season long.
Right.
And Lamar Jackson, he was picked up 2 weeks ago. I need a real streamer. Come on. I'm in a super competitive league. I'm in a deep league. Give me somebody else, Field.
Let's play with a little bit of fire here, Matthew. And if I told you could have a quarterback facing a team that has allowed 25 touchdown passes and one interception this year, one measly, teeny, tiny interception, would you take your chance on that player?
Yeah, I think I might.
3 out of every throws against the Buccaneers have been completed.
Wow.
So Nick Mullins, Stefania's little Nick Mullins.
That's right.
Who's available in a ton of leagues. It's interesting. I've got him at 19 in my quarterback rankings this week, and we've seen him play awesome in one game already against a pitiful Raiders defense. I'm not saying he'll throw 3 touchdowns again and be lights out, but yeah, I'm willing to roll the dice with Nick Mullins. YOLO.
I have him rated just above Field. I have him ranked at number 16. I think he kept the 49ers in it. Look, he had struggles against the Giants. It was only his second game starting, let's be fair, but Nick Mullins can run that offense.
2 weeks to prepare for this game against a Buccaneers defense, to your point, Field, that has allowed the most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. I believe 7 different times, I want to look at my notes here, 7 different quarterbacks have scored over 20 fantasy points against the Buccaneers. Yeah. So just if you play Tampa Bay, you've got a good shot. And again, Kyle Shanahan has had 2 weeks to prepare for this game and to sort of game plan and scheme something that takes advantage of Nick Mullins' strengths against Tampa's defense.
Give you a little daily tip. George Kittle, Nick Mullins.
The stack.
There you go.
Stefania stack for week 12 right there. It's going to be hot in Tampa Bay this weekend. Seats are still available, Matthew, for this game. I think perhaps there's seats.
If you would like to go see Nick Mullins in person, get on the Nick Mullins train before it leaves the station, you can do it. Because, you know, getting tickets online can be far too complicated. Certainly for people like myself. I didn't go to Princeton. What do I know? I'm a moron here, right? There's hundreds of sites out there, varying levels of reliability. Hard to know who to trust, especially if you're a naive boy in the city like me. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek, of course, pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. Nothing quite like being there in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever, Field. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Everyone's budget is different, of course. Every purchase, by the way, fully guaranteed. That's the part that's best for me. Because I just always feel like you never know. You see all these ticket sites pop up and you're like, I don't know. This
you
one that
nervous,
says, like,
right?
You know, supershadytickets.com. Just, I got a bad feeling about that one. That was one where I just like, you know what? I doesn't make a lot of sense
for
me.
Spider sense went
tingly with that one. So anyway, every purchase on SeatGeek fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets, with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, the listeners to this podcast get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFF today. Once again, promo code FFF for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Let's continue now with the waiver wire, Field, Yates. And I feel like you and I have talked about Josh Adams for a number of weeks here.
It just goes to
show how little power you and I have, because he is still well below the 50% roster percentage that, you know, qualifies him for the column.
Well, I'm going to give you credit here, Matthew. I was a bit more skeptical that Josh Adams is going to carve a role out immediately in this Philadelphia backfield, because there's so much real estate occupied by Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood. Heck, Darren Sproles could soon return. There are a lot of players that have some level of ability for Philadelphia, and yet last week, despite a thrashing from the Saints, there was one thing to feel good about, and that was Josh Adams' performance. 7 rushes, 53 yards, and a touchdown, but even probably just as encouragingly, as he had 3 catches for 19 yards. So we like to see that. He's a top 25 play for both of us this week. They play the New York Giants in a must-win game for Philadelphia. He should have been drafted last year. I mean, he was a ridiculous player at Notre Dame. People thought he was going to be a Heisman contender at one point during last season before Baker Mayfield just took off and ran away with that award. But Adams looks the part, and we hope they are going to stay that dedicated to him, and it sure seems like they are based off last week's usage.
Last 3 games averaging over 7 yards per carry. Those same games, Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood averaging 2.45 yards per carry. So same offense, same line. Josh Adams has been very effective where Clement and Smallwood have not, allowing him to, wait for it, run away with this job. All right, so it's been a while since I've had a fantasy player on my roster named Gus. Big Gus Frat fan back in the day, of course, but suddenly there's a chance to have another Gus.
That's right. Gus Edwards, who, as I said yesterday, like, who claims rights to Gus Edwards? Rutgers or the U? Started at the U.
I don't know.
Finished probably up at
knowing,
Rutgers for a graduate.
Knowing the U, knowing Stefania, pretty much, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think 2 weeks ago, they would have said Rutgers.
Right.
But now that he's done something good, all the bandwagoners over here, like Starfania, sitting here like, oh, yeah, loved him at the U.
Yep.
So anyway, tell me about the Gus bus.
He went crazy in week 11. He had 46 snaps. He had over 100 rushing yards. Him and Lamar Jackson were a two-man band, 17 rushes for 115 yards. They combined for 44 rushing attempts. And the Ravens have been looking for that spark plug at running back. Alex Collins' role has seemingly faded a little bit week to week, and maybe the Ravens view Gus Edwards as the most capable player because of his skill set to play alongside Lamar Jackson for some reason or the other, maybe the best play-in space player, the best make-you-miss player on this roster, and maybe the biggest faller in this offense this past week was Buck Allen, who played just five snaps.
Yeah.
I don't know that I fully buy into the idea that Gus Edwards is going to have this role unto himself, but I do believe there's a chance that Gus Edwards is going to be the Ravens running back that you want to roster the rest of the season most.
I rank him just inside my top 30 this week. There is a little bit of buyer beware because we've seen this before with the Ravens where like it'd be a big Buck Allen game. And we're like, I guess Buck Allen's taking this backfield over. And then the very next week, Buck Allen went away and then it was back to the Alex Collins show. But 46 snaps for Gus Edwards last week to just 17 for Alex Collins. And to your point, he looked the part. He has 11, he had 11 carries that gained five or more yards of his 17 carries. I mean, the only players with more such carries in a game this season, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson. Like a nice list to be on there. So, and you heard John Harbaugh talk about him after the game in terms of how he, you know, just ran north-south and gave his team a spark. And so, given how run-heavy they want to be with Lamar Jackson, even if you see more of an increase in Collins, Edwards has carved out a role for himself and, you know, obviously needs to be rostered in a lot more leagues. We talked about Theo Riddick earlier in the show. He's available in 70% of leagues, and we do like him in PPR leagues as sort of a flex this week, given the fact that we don't expect Kerryon Johnson to play on Thanksgiving.
Let's take a quick break and come right back after this and finish off with just a few wide receivers of note.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-010.
All right, and now a quick note from our ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Sage Table, daughter of the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. Field Yates is my favorite member of the 06-010 because his mom makes the best snacks on playdates. Back to the show.
Yeah. I was so excited for a second.
Yeah.
There we go.
I should have known. I took the cheese.
You were like all in, and then you, Yeah.
By the way, she ain't lying. Mama Yates makes good snacks on playdates. I got to be honest with you.
Also makes great Christmas themed, all kinds of baked goods. She's the maestro.
Really?
Raspberry squares.
I look forward to them coming in.
I look forward to reading them.
Really good raspberry squares. Buckeye Twos from Columbus. Big game on Sunday, Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
So listen, because I know Patty Yates.
I don't need anything Buckeye, but those raspberry squares.
You're in.
I'm in. On
well,
those.
Listen, I know that I know that Field's sister, the lovely Patty Yates, listens to every show. So listen, Patty, just a direct message from your pal Maddie to you. I don't believe Field will take any of these treats in, so I need you to figure out a way to get them to the 06-010. Mama Yates treats, get them here to the 06-010. Don't trust Field with them. I'm just asking you.
I'll
you know,
see
friend to friend.
What I can do. Let's get to the wide receiver ads of the week.
Yeah.
Traquan Smith for the Saints was unbelievable last week, 10 for 157 and a touchdown in week 11. Now listen, that is nearly what he had for the entire season leading up to that point. This is the upside ad though. This is just the trust the talent, trust the offense, and heck, they need somebody to catch passes besides Mike Thomas amongst their wide receivers. They've gotten some solid contributions from David Kirkwood and Austin Carr amongst other players, and perhaps Brandon Marshall sees some work here, but Traquan Smith is far talented than anybody else they have besides Mike Thomas at wide receiver.
Other than the two teams that played last night, there's not a hotter offense in the NFL than the Saints, and you could argue they're just as hot. I mean, like, it's unbelievable just how good they are, how dialed in they are, and Traquan Smith, who impressed so much in the preseason, and we talked about how many routes he was running and can that translate for production. We finally saw it translate last week. So certainly Traquan Smith, there's a lot of upside there. We've seen the number two wide receiver. I mean, Ted Ginn was what, a top 30 wide receiver last week, year, something like that. So we've seen the number we're live here, Field, and it's the holidays. Yeah. My family would not like me to get fired, so close to the holidays, but Traquan Smith is certainly somebody that needs to be rostered in more leagues. Let's move over to Baltimore. No, we talked about Lamar Jackson. We talked about Gus Edwards. Like, you're all Ravens this week.
Yeah,
a lot of Ravens
this week. I have a little bit of pause at this one in Willie Snead, but over 10 points in 8 of 10 games so far this season.
Yeah.
They threw the ball 19 times last week. So, I think
volume is a concern.
Willie Snead could be, I mean, it might be this, Matthew. It might be that one Ravens wide receiver proves to be fantasy relevant for each week that Lamar Jackson starts, whether that's just one more or whether that's five more games or however many games they have left this season. So there are some mitigating circumstances here, but Willie Snead has been so steady and so solid. And right now, if you're going to have to fill in for a player like Tyreek Hill or Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks, like, you'll be taking the hit. They don't just have 20 point per game wide receivers available on the waiver wire, but you would take somebody that could get you 10.
There's a floor there. There's a limited ceiling.
Yep.
Like if you're swinging for the fences, you prefer a Traquan Smith or, you know, there's a couple other guys that, you know, maybe have much higher upside, but there is certainly a floor with Willie Snead, who has at least 7 targets now in 7 straight games. That Ravens offense has always sort of targeted the slot. A guy that I actually have higher than Willie Snead on my personal ranks in terms of waiver wires this week, but makes your list as well, is a rookie from Carolina.
Yeah, DJ Moore, who's one of many wide receivers. We don't have the time to go through the whole list, but the last 4 games, he's got 21 targets, which is the same number as Devin Funchen. He had 5 targets for the 5th time in his past 6 games this past weekend against the Detroit Lions. They have a great schedule during the fantasy playoffs. DJ Moore, this is a trust the talent ad for the first round pick out of Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, so certainly the pedigree is there, and we've seen the production inconsistently, but we have seen it there. I actually prefer him to Willie Snead, I should say, or Willis Reed, to be honest.
I would think so too. Yeah.
Willis Reed's fantasy value is not what it once was. But DJ Moore, especially, by the way, when you look at Carolina's schedule coming up,
yeah,
not just, you know, starting with this week at home against Seattle, but just throughout the rest of the fantasy playoffs, like, it's a really nice schedule for the entire Carolina Panthers, especially their passing offense. And one last guy I just want to mention real quickly, field that would be my number one guy actually this week, is Keke Coutee. Look, 5 or more catches in 3 of 5 games, 5 or more targets in 4 of 5 games. Last week had a 37% target share. I think the expectation was with Demaryius Thomas coming in, he would sort of take away, but that's not been the case. And I don't know if anyone was watching Fantasy Bowl Now on Sunday, but Dan Graziano was reporting from that Redskins-Texans game, and he talked about, he's like, when you talk to Texans coaches about Keke Coutee, like, their eyes light up. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but just, you know, they talked about, like, he's
more
faster
than
more
realize.
Speed yep. than they realize. They want to do different things. They keep trying to figure out different ways, and there's clearly a connection with Deshaun Watson as well. So honestly, I think Keke Coutee has carved out a significant role for himself in that Texans offense.
It is the holiday season, and this holiday season you can get everything you need for you and your loved ones at MeUndies. MeUndies uses the coveted micromodal fabric, which is 3 times softer than cotton. And if you've never felt this fabric, get ready to experience pure bliss in underwear form. This year, MeUndies will be releasing a new print every Tuesday, like that's today. That means you'll have no excuse not to celebrate the holidays right down to your very core. But why stop at undies? This year, MeUndies is launching their holiday prints in lounge pants and onesies. Both of these are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies, and I've got the lounge pants. They're perfect for sitting around on the couch all day and catching up either on TV shows you missed during football season or just watching football. Daniel, you like your onesie for the same purpose.
Oh, it's so comfortable. Plus, I just love being, I feel like I'm a large child in a onesie, and it just puts me in a happy place.
Yeah, it's certainly a comfort.
It definitely is.
It's a comfort for all of us that ever have the opportunity to wear them. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and you get free shipping. That's sweet. That's a no-brainer, as a matter of fact. Get 15% off the most comfortable pair of undies you will ever put on. To get 15% off that first pair and free shipping and 100% satisfaction guaranteed, go to MeUndies.com/FFF. That's MeUndies.com/FFF. Good stuff right there. Time now for a crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
It is the holidays.
Yeah, it is.
And when you get to the holidays, you're looking for gifts. You're looking for gifts for loved ones. Maybe
That's
you're looking,
nice.
Maybe you want to hint something to a loved one in your life about what you personally would like. FantasyLife.com has T-shirts and hats and tumblers and hoodies and anything you could possibly want. There's some great trophies on there, some funny loser trophies as well. Last place temporary tattoos, like, you name it, we've got it there.
Why not just go
coffee
full
mugs
tattoos
as well. Yeah, you could go full tattoo, but if you want, they've got like some funny, we've got some funny like loser tattoos as well. We have a large selection for women as well.
That's
Stefania
right.
Stefania approved. I got That's some right. designs that are Stefania approved out there. So if you go to fantasylife.com, here's the deal. Buy 2 items, get 1 free.
Yep.
How about that? Buy 2, get 1 free, all items store wide. You just got to use the promo code Xmas, XMAS. Use the promo code Xmas at fantasylife.com. Buy 2, get 1 free. get something for yourself. So you can buy something for a loved one, and then you get something for yourself as well. It's pretty
that
good.
That is great good value deal. Right there.
And there's Secret Squirrel apparel. There's Curse of Stefania Bell apparel. There's Yater's Gonna Yate stuff. Like
Something for everyone.
Something for everyone in the 06010. So fantasylife.com. Check it out.
When you say Secret Squirrel apparel, do you just mean it's a shirtless shirt where you're walking around topless the whole time?
I guess we should sell that.
You should think about
it. But yeah. No, there's actual, my favorite, there's a couple of different shirts inspired by you, but my favorite is, I'm in a crappy band you've never heard
of. So good. I love it.
It was a lot of fun. Anyway, go check it out at fantasylife.com.
All right. Time now for our ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week submissions for week 13, Daniel?
Yes.
Week 13 reads.
For week 13.
Yep.
Man. All right, here we are. This one comes from Cody Holiday. I probably said that name wrong. Sorry, Cody. You can bring one member of the 06010 home with you to Thanksgiving dinner. Who you're bringing home and why? The answer is clear, and that is Mike Clay. Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks, and thanks must be given to the 06010er who provides IDP advice for those who take fantasy to the next level. In addition, though, Mike Clay would provide such dry, factual, middle-of-the-road, unopinionated commentary that he would beat the trip to fan to my family and would enable me to watch days worth of football and have leftovers to myself.
Wow.
Calling him human trip to fan.
It takes a left turn to take a real shot at Mike
Clay.
Real
shot. Human trip to fan.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, hey, Mike Clay will break down like exactly how many calories, you know, and
sure.
Like how many steps I need to walk
formula.
And put into a spreadsheet. And, you know, I project if you eat 3 yams, you'll need to walk walk to the corner 2 times. Like, that's where I thought that was going. All right. Next one.
All right. This next one comes from Liz. She would bring Secret Squirrel because he looks like he's homeless and could use a good meal.
Oh my God. That's like, I like the short and to the point one. Yeah. Really to the
Liz,
point.
Liz is the clubhouse leader. And by the way, it's funny because it's true.
Aw.
This next one comes from, Kaylee. I mean, Field makes his own bed in a hotel, so he'd probably do the dishes after Thanksgiving dinner. Plus, my nephews would love some company at the kids' table.
Fair. So
that one's from Kaylee. Maybe you could join the nephews.
Yeah, I could totally see him doing dishes afterwards, too.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, Field helps in the kitchen. All the women love him because he helps in the kitchen, and then all the guys love him because he can chat up. He knows
talks
everything.
Talks about football.
Yeah. Yeah. Universal appeal. And then the kids love him because, you know, he's
here.
He'll
sit down. He's, so like he's awesome. One of them. Right.
So
100%.
More to the table than
he's a complete package.
I don't think any of us would go over somewhere empty-handed, but Field would bring although you would bring a really good bottle of wine, knowing you used to find
it. And then I'd open it.
And then you'd drink it yourself.
Yeah.
Right, in the corner while sobbing uncontrollably.
All right, we've got two more. This one comes from Todd Rinkmeyer.
No, I'm much more fun than that. Come on.
That's true. Stefania's very fun, especially when you get a couple of glasses of wine in her. She's very fun. No doubt. All right, what do you got?
All right, this one comes from Todd Rinkmeyer. Who wouldn't want to bring Matthew home for Thanksgiving dinner? First, before even walking inside, he'd blow the roof off my parents' front door, which would immediately break any tension that there is. Next, he'd be able to deliver his classic love-hate column in person, previewing the entire family's Thanksgiving dishes. Mom's potato casserole would obviously be in the love list because it would far outperform Mike Clay's weak projection. Trust me, the deliciousness per bite screams regression to the mean more than Julio Jones' touchdown draught. Later on, Wright's family members reach the point where we may actually have had one too many adult beverages and start venturing into a political discussion. Tamar would be able to hold it by saying, hang on, can we just go back 1 minute to talk about that turkey Dad cooked? Lastly, on his way out, Maddie B would, of course, provide us all with signed copies of The Fantasy Life, a New York Times bestseller,
yep,
and the book that heals all families.
Oh, that's very true. It's, I appreciate that.
Todd.
I appreciate that.
There you go.
A little
sentimental.
It is. They missed. I would also, you know, I'd also have Mike Clay in there, and I'd talk about, you know, the ADOT, average depth of turkey.
Average
depth.
So good.
Average depth of tryptophan
so good.
And turkey.
That's pretty good. This last one comes from Ryan Overton. I would reluctantly bring Matthew Berry home for Thanksgiving.
Reluctantly? What?
Yes. Dinner would have been ruined, and I've not come to terms with that. But my sister needs guidance.
Oh?
My family and I have not prevailed in helping her, and the only one I trust to give her some solid dating advice is Matthew Berry. I would set them up in a corner after Thanksgiving dinner is over for Matthew to instill unprecedented wisdom upon her. Michelle Beadle also would be invited, as the duo would give dating advice that is unmatched. Hashtag free Maddie's dating advice.
Oh,
thank you very much. I may bring that back. I may have to treat, you know, because we did it for a while, and then like some of the suits here kind of shot it down, but there's been different suits. There's been changing in suits. Some suits are still around. Some suits have come back around.
Matthew's got a new suit.
But I got a new suit.
Last Sunday.
Yeah, I got a new
electric suit.
But yeah. I may try to fly that flag again. We'll see if I get anywhere with it. But I may try to fly that flag again. Maddie's dating advice.
All right. So we have five submissions. We have Todd with the love-hate Thanksgiving style, where you choose Matthew. Liz would choose me because I'm look like I'm a homeless person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Kaylee with Field being at the kids' table and helping with dishes. Cody with Mike Clay being dry and factually correct as a tryptophan. Yep. And then Ryan would want Maddie's dating advice after Thanksgiving dinner.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say, let's take Cody off the list. I don't think, Cody's a contender at the moment.
I'd agree with that. So kind of Mike we love.
Yeah. And I, let's see. And I think, I appreciated, I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt like the love-hate Thanksgiving style, while I appreciated it got sweet at the end, felt a little long to me.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. So.
In case you haven't noticed, guys, these guys
shortened to the point. Shortened to the point.
Which is why Daniel's was so funny.
I know. Liz is the winner for me.
Yeah,
so
no. Daniel will not go hungry, which is good.
Yeah.
And for all you know, like, Daniel might actually bring something too.
Right.
Plus, I
Dop
love the
looks
fact
homeless
that
and could use a good meal.
Him, you get to watch the Lions game with Daniel also.
Right. That's
and,
right.
Yeah, I know. It's not
right.
One pride, baby.
And she's fulfilling a charity obligation while she's just bringing him along.
Okay.
So it's,
fine,
it's
yeah.
actually, she's fulfilling two charitable obligations. She's watching the Lions game.
Right.
And then
I mean,
she's also bringing in
it's really
homeless secret squirrel.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I think Liz wins.
I appreciate the shout out to Maddie's dating advice. Ryan is clearly a longtime fan if he's referencing me and Beetle doing dating advice. So I really appreciate that, Ryan. And I enjoyed Kaylee talking about Field being at the kids' table. I have to agree with Stefania here. I think Liz, who says Dop looks homeless and could use a good meal, is my vote as well.
All right, so that is Liz Koseris, give or take, something like that. Liz Koseris.
All right.
Liz,
you are the ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week. Welcome to the show. Congratulations.
Well done.
Week 13. Congratulations, Woo! Liz. All right, and then this is the question we are asking for the following week. Question is live right now. You woke up and found yourself in a Freaky Friday situation where for one day you've switched bodies with one member of the 0610. Who are you hoping you've switched with and why?
Oh my God.
Wow.
By the way, I'm about to go listen to that little Freaky Friday song.
That's right.
A lot of times after this podcast. Great question right
Honey,
there,
that
as
is
always
a great
by
question.
Daniel Dopp.
Daniel, I'm so that impressed.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Pros and cons to everybody on this podcast.
Pros and cons to, yes.
And by the way, let's keep answers and submissions between the navigational beakers, people. This is still a family show, all right?
Go to town, whatever. if it's inappropriate, it just won't make the air. But you should go to town. Do what you want. Figure out why. Explain why.
Some
it is what it is.
We have a Wednesday show that will actually be a Friday show. So tomorrow we will preview every single game as best we can with as much injury intel. I know a few teams are going to practice today as opposed to Thursday, which might help us a little bit, Stefania, to at least spin the wheels on what we might know on notable injuries. Of course, the Fantasy Show is available later on today on ESPN+. Plus.
Streaming all season long on ESPN+. Plus. Please check it out.
I think Stefania might... Nope.
Might
be on at some point this season.
Yep.
Yeah.
My love hate is, it's the Tuesday show today. It's like, it's a waiver show plus love hate. It's kind of a combo show because of the holiday, and my love hate column will be out tomorrow on Wednesday. So be sure to, check that out.
There you go. Great stuff there. Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except for the Fantasy Life app. He's at Matthew Berry.
Download the Fantasy Life app. I'm telling you guys, will thank me later.
Stefania B87 on Instagram, Stefania _ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram once you get back up because you're currently sort of just going through the motions right now. Daniel Dopp, we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys, go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
You think you could do better than me? Because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Media.